Next up is myopia, a cause of sight loss reaching epidemic proportions around the globe. For most people with low to moderate myopia, the main implications are refractive. But for those with the highest levels of myopia, there is an increased risk of ocular pathology. For these patients, a number of interventions have been looked at, including the use of low-dose atropine. In this review, Abida Khatun speaks to Professor Neil Strang to find out how it works, its availability in the UK, and what it means for optometrists.
Neil, welcome to this edition of Advances in Eye Care. Can you start by telling us how myopia is classified and the risks associated with higher levels of myopia?
In the past, there's been a number of different classifications of myopia, but researchers now tend to classify myopia as a mean spherical equivalent refraction of the minus 0.5 diopters. In terms of high myopia, it's usually classified as having the mean spherical equivalent of minus 6 diopters. There's a greater risk of glaucoma, retinal detachment, myopic maculopathy associated with myopia, and all of these can lead to visual impairment. These risks are greater at higher levels of myopia, and it's therefore important that we try to look at slowing the progression of myopia as much as possible.
Atropine has long been used in higher concentrations as a cycloplegic. Can you briefly remind us of its mechanism of action and its known adverse effects?
Atropine is an anticholinergic drug which blocks the muscarinic receptors found in the ciliary body and the sphincter muscle in the iris. This results in loss of accommodation and pupillary dilation. The most common adverse effects of atropine include blur vision, photophobia, and lid and conjunctival allergic responses. Atropine in higher dose form is currently used to induce full cycloplegia and in amblyopia therapy.
What is the mechanism by which it helps to halt the progression of myopia, and is this impact dose dependent?
Yeah, the mechanism is currently unknown, but animal research indicates that it's likely to exert its effects via a non-accommodative mechanism. At normal clinical doses, atropine blocks all muscarinic receptor subtypes, but the lower 0.01% dose seems to have less effect on the M3 receptors that impact upon pupil size and accommodation. It's been suggested that the 0.01% still affects the M1 and M4 receptors that are thought to play a role in myopic progression. An additional advantage in the low-dose atropine is that the rebound acceleration of myopia progression, which has been reported in the 1% atropine treatment, is stopped. And this does not seem to occur when you're using 0.01% concentration.
So what does research tell us about the best time to begin treatment and for how long?
Research doesn't advise us on a precise age for when treatment should commence. And studies show that there's a great deal of variability between individuals. However, initiating treatment shortly after the onset of myopia would make the patient less likely to develop high levels of myopia.
Is there any concern about adverse impacts, either systemic or due to loss of accommodation, even at the lower doses used?
The risk of systemic side effects such as dry mouth, dry skin and flushing when using low-dose atropine are very small. A recent study in Ireland reported that there's no reduction in accommodation following the use of low-dose atropine.
What sort of reduction of myopic progression has been measured?
Research generally indicates that the use of atropine in predominantly Asian children may slow myopia progression by approximately 50%, although the results are dependent on the severity of myopia and the age when first treated. At present, it's uncertain if similar slowing of progression would occur in Caucasian children.
What is the best way to detect small changes in axial length?
Optical biometers such as the IOL Master or LensStar are now a widely accepted method of measuring axial length. These instruments measure axial length through partial coherence interferometry and are widely used in myopia research as they are non-invasive and are accurate.
And is refraction the standard for assessing myopia change during the treatment?
Current research trials will generally assess both axial length to measure change in eye size using something like the IOL Master and cycloplegic autorefraction to determine the myopic change.
How do you determine who to treat with low-dose atropine? Are there any guidelines available, either UK or worldwide?
There are currently no guidelines available in the UK regarding the use of low-dose atropine, as it's not yet a licensed method of myopia control. However, there are a number of low-dose atropine clinical trials underway. Until these are completed, there's not really enough evidence to produce clinical guidelines. Currently, low-dose atropine is used to treat myopia in Asian countries, but it's unclear how eligibility is determined, and this may vary between countries.
Are there any risks associated with low-dose atropine treatment, and how do these compare to other myopia treatments?
Low-dose atropine seems to be well-tolerated, although there's a low risk of blurred vision and photophobia. Other myopia control treatments, such as soft multifocal contact lenses and orthokeratology contact lenses, seem to have similar risks to those that you would normally associate with soft contact lens wear in children. The College of Optometrists have recently produced a consensus statement relating to myopia management, which outlines current thinking in detail.
Are online myopia calculators, such as that from the Brian Holden Vision Institute, useful for comparing the impact of different techniques for clinicians in practice?
Myopia calculators, which incorporate data from many research papers, provide a useful resource for optometrists to decide on possible myopia treatment and likely outcome. One useful calculator that we use in the myopia clinic at Glasgow Caledonian University was published by Tideman et al. In 2017. This uses axial length growth curves to determine the risk of myopia onset and predicted final level of myopia based on initial axial length and age.
Can you talk us through the studies that have been done on this treatment, for example, the ATOM study?
Yeah, the ATOM and ATOM 2 studies explored the efficacy of various atropine concentrations over a 3-year period in Singaporean children. The ATOM 2 study reported that the 0.5, 0.1 and 0.01% doses of atropine were similarly effective in reducing myopia progression. No side effects were reported in the 0.01% group. When treatment was stopped, the 0.01% group had less subsequent myopia progression than other groups, and when the participants were started back on treatment, 0.01% atropine was found to be as effective as when first used.
What is the availability and potential for the use of low-dose atropine in the UK currently?
Low-dose atropine is not currently available to optometrists. However, a multi-centre myopia trial exploring the use of low-dose atropine on myopia progression will be starting this year in the UK. The trial centres will be at various universities, including Glasgow Caledonian, Queen's Belfast, Ulster, Aston and Anglia Ruskin, and also at Moorfields Eye Hospital. This trial will be actively recruiting patients in the near future, and information regarding the trial will be publicised to optometrists. It's hoped that the results of this trial will help in the development of evidence-based guidelines for the potential use of low-dose atropine in the UK.
Thank you, Neil and Abida.